You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. This week, we're talking about songs of the summer. Some of our favorites from the past, some of the ones we think are going to pop this year, and later on we're going to talk about Tinashe and her interview with The Guardian,
mm-hmm.
and
all the crazy
comments, some of the comments about being biracial and
she's biracial
and the music industry and colorism and all those different things. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about these things, and make sure you use the hashtag FOAFpod when you're tweeting about the show, because we'd like to know your thoughts. So let's get it.
Lego. So summer hits, summer bops, summer anthems, whatever you want to call them, they are a thing that we always seem to talk about. We kind of wanted to, like, spend some time just talking about them and, like, their space in pop music especially. And just, you know, is there a song of the summer yet? Like, are your faves slacking, or is there actually a song of the summer? We don't know yet, but we want to talk about it. So just starting off with, like, that term. Like, when you hear song of the summer, like, what makes a song of the summer, like, to you?
Okay, so I was looking up, you know, just articles on it, right? So I saw something on Forbes.com, and they pretty much gave the formula, you know. He, the guy that wrote it, he said, you know, for one, it has to have radio friendliness. It has to be something that people want to hear constantly. Timing is also very important. You don't want to release it too early, but you don't want to be too late either. Because you want it to peak in the mid-summer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you want to hear it at barbecues, at pool parties.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like summertime is usually the season when people are really, like, coming together more. I mean, you of course you do that during the holidays, like Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff, but, like, that part of the year kind of has its own, like, set of, like, you know, its own music, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally Christmas music. And so, you know, I feel like with summer music, it's different because it's usually more fun, upbeat. It brings people together. And so that's definitely, and there's, like you said, there's definitely, like, a formula to that. There's a particular sound that you want to be hearing when you're surrounded by people having fun at the pool versus, like, you know, in your bed because it's 30 degrees outside and you don't want to, like, leave and you want to just be alone. So there's definitely, like, a distinct thing that summer songs have.
And I think also just, you know, it has to have a good beat and a good feeling. Like, you have to feel good when you listen to it. Like, you know, a lot of summer songs, they're on feel good playlists because you feel great listening to them. And it has to me, I think it has to be something you can sing along to.
So catchy. Super catchy.
Yeah, super catchy. You know, not many, you know, deep lyrics or anything. You know, One Dance was a big song last year, and it literally was, I need a one dance, got a Hennessy in my hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really
so,
all I
and
need.
And it's super super relatable anyway. You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's what makes a summer song. Just something that is for everyone. And usually it's pop.
Right.
It's we don't really have too many, like, rap summer songs or, like,
I
R&B
think,
summer songs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, it's very, it's basically, like, how the, you know, pop music is right now in general. It's, like, there used to be a time where, like, you know, I think rap is still kind of making its way back when it comes to crossing over into pop and, like, be, like, actually hearing it on pop radio. But, like, there was a time, a lot of my, like, early 2000s, like, favorite summer songs were R&B and hip-hop.
Yeah.
You know, because they actually were ruling, like, the charts, like, you
know,
overall.
Yeah, we'd have, like, Ashanti songs and Ja Rule songs.
Usher.
And, like, Usher.
Yeah.
Beyonce in her early, you know, solo days and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, definitely.
But definitely it's turned into more pop. Like,
yeah,
it's definitely become more of, like, a pop thing, I think.
Yeah, but I think, though, like I mentioned, I want to say last episode, how I think rap is coming back in top 40. So I think that a lot of the summer songs this year will have, you know, rappers, if mm-hmm. not main, you know, the main artists, they'll be featured.
Right,
so
right.
Do you have any ideas for summer songs this
year? Yeah. So I'm thinking that, like, it's going to be somewhere either. Okay, sorry. I think it's definitely going to be DJ Khaled or mm-hmm. Justin Bieber or Migos. And either, yeah. like, obviously all they've all collabed before, but they yeah. also have their own songs that are kind of, like, really peaking. And so
yeah.
with DJ Khaled and, you know, with all three of them, you have I'm the One. That is, like, mm-hmm. a quintessential summer song to me between,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
The production and, like, all the features. The, you know, Justin's part is very basic, but it's also, like, super, super catchy, you mm-hmm. know? And so that one, and also, like, all the verses on there, especially Quavo's and Chance the Rapper's, are just super hilarious and really yeah. fun, like, to rap along to. So I definitely think, like, DJ Khaled and Bieber especially will be ruling the charts. I mean, Justin Bieber on his own. Well, not on his own. He has the song Despacito,
yeah.
which has been, you know, it's with Luis Fonsi, Daddy Yankee, featuring Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And actually, Billboard has, like, a Songs of the Summer chart.
It's yeah,
very
it's
specific,
crushing it right now.
And it's number one on that chart. Number two is mm-hmm. That's What I Like by Bruno Mars, which, I mean, I guess, like, it definitely sounds like a summer song, but it's been out for a minute. And so
yeah.
to me, it's like I'm kind of like I still, you know, it's still my song. Like, That's What I Like is still my song. But I do feel like it was released a lot earlier mm-hmm. and is probably going to fade out a little bit quickly. And I don't know that it'll be topping the Songs of the Summer chart, like, as we get deeper into the summer. But, yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's definitely, like, DJ Khaled. I think especially once Grateful comes out,
mm-hmm.
it's
yeah,
going to be,
definitely.
Like, I'm sure he has more singles up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm. I think that... Okay, so mine aren't really pop, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I judge my songs of the summer just based off of the reaction that I've seen that certain songs get at parties and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is a good way to gauge it.
Yeah, so Slide by Calvin Harris, Frank Ocean, and Migos. To me, that's a feel-good song, and I heard that out one night, and everybody was just vibing, you know? So I thought that was a good one. Crew by Goldlink. Now, it mm-hmm. came out a while ago, but I've heard it, like, all over. I went out a couple times last week, and I heard it multiple times each time I went out. So, yeah, I mean, that song and, you know, I would like for Down by Fifth Harmony to be played everywhere.
I mean, I haven't been hearing it as much yet, but,
yeah.
I mean, it definitely has the elements of a song of the summer. Work From
yeah.
Home was, like, undeniably one of the songs of the summer in 2016.
Last year, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, it, as far as the formula goes, like, production, the Gucci feature, like, the catchiness of the chorus and just mm-hmm. even, you know, both of the main verses, like, that is, like, a summer song. Even if it's
yeah.
not, like, the top one, it mm-hmm. has the exact formula of, like, what you kind of think about when you think of summer songs, for sure.
And so, yeah, those are the songs that I think I'll hear a lot of
yeah.
this summer.
I'm thinking, like, around August, like, mid-August is a good time to, like, be able to look back and be like, okay, like, this was definitely a song of the summer. Like, something
yeah.
that will all, like, a song that will always remind me of summer 2016 mm-hmm. will be No Problem by Chance, the Rapper, you know?
Yeah.
And part of
yeah.
it, like, that's another thing, though. I feel like even though the very basic definition of, like, song of the summer is related to, like, what's playing at top 40 or
mm-hmm.
what's topping the Billboard charts, I do also think that, like, it has a personal feel to it as well. Like,
definitely.
Yeah, like, I have songs that, like, remind me of certain parts of my life. And, like, for example, like, with No Problem, like, it did pretty well. Like, it was one of his obviously most successful singles, like, when it comes
yeah.
to last year and Coloring Book. But, like, every single house party I went to and, like, any time I was in the club and this would play, like, everybody went crazy and you were singing every, like, lyric and rapping every lyric with him. And so, like, when I hear that song, I will always go back to, like, summer 2016 in D.C., like, with my friends. And so...
For me, my song of the summer for 2016 was Work.
Mm-hmm.
I
Work
heard
by Rihanna.
Everywhere. Yes, work by Rihanna and Drake. I heard that everywhere. But the thing about it was, it wasn't annoying because, okay, technically, I think the song of the summer, like charts wise, was that Chainsmokers and Halsey song. That was the summer song, right?
So bad. It was on the top of the charts for like way longer than it should have been. Like not just over
and
the
weeks
summer.
And weeks.
Yeah, it was a long ass time.
And so that technically, that was the, I guess, like, that song performed the best. It performed well or whatever. But for me, Work by Rihanna featuring Drake was, I mean, like, to me, like someone said, this Work is the song of the summer this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you hear it, it's like, it's infectious. And I think that's what kind of defines the song of the summer. It's just a song that as soon as you hear it, you want to dance. You want to sing along to it. Yep. And I think Work by Rihanna was definitely one of those songs, and to this day I want to hear it every time I go out. So
so we mentioned our 2016 faves. Like, if you had to take it back a little bit, like, what are some of your like memorable summer songs?
So the only song I wrote down was Frank Ocean's Sweet Life. And I remember the first time I heard Sweet Life and I'm like, I love this song. This makes me feel good. I want to kind of like drive around with my windows down and listen to this on blast.
So
Sweet Life by Frank Ocean. And to this day, I can listen to that song and just feel like what you think summer feels like, you know, just relaxation and free time and things like that. So yeah, that Sweet Life by Frank Ocean is definitely my like all-time favorite summer song, I think.
Okay, so that is a very high ranking for me. I don't think I could like pick an all-time favorite, but there's like two particular summers that like mean a lot to me. Like there was one summer 2004 I spent in Philly. Like this was, you know, my opportunity to like learn all the terrible things from my older cousins.
Yeah.
Like watching Baby Boy on VHS, like the uncensored version. Like that was like a summer for me that like really like when you're talking about like adolescence and like the moment where you are just truly can look back and see, okay, like that was a moment, that was a time where I was really like growing up and like I was not the same person coming out of summer 2004 as I was coming in because I saw Tyrese's ass for the first time.
She became a woman.
And so like that summer we got Confessions Part 2.
Oh yeah.
We had Slow Motion by Juvenile. We had Burn by Usher.
Oh my god.
We had Lean Back by Terror Squad. The Reason by Hoobastank, which was like a bop. Don't let anyone tell you that wasn't a bop. Turn Me On by Kevin Little. Like, such a great summer. Okay, so let me tell you where I'm looking at right now. Billboard has this article where they took the top 10 songs from each summer from 1985 to about 2015. And they kind of like just listed the top 10. And like when I look at them, I can tell you like almost each summer from about like 2000 up until 2015, like I can tell you exactly what I was doing that summer simply by like looking at the songs and going back to my memories from that summer. So summer 2005, the next year we had We Belong Together by Mariah Carey. Upon the Replay, that's when Rihanna came out. So she's been ruling the summer charts since the beginning of her career.
So,
I mean, Lose Control by Missy and Sierra, like, come on.
So good. So I think I want to take back my Frank Ocean thing then. Because, okay, listen, Turn Me On by Kevin Little is, it to me, it's like the song of the century.
It is. It truly does not get as much love as it deserves.
It does not get old. Please give him his flowers because this song, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
That high falsetto type voice he has going on and that infectious beat. I mean, you just can't help but dance.
That was definitely a song like, okay, it came out in what, 2005? 2004.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah, like I had no idea what he was talking about, but I knew I could recognize a bop when I heard it. And then as I got older, like I was like, holy shit, again, I was way too young to be experiencing all of this. But like I remember when like Confessions was like big on the radio, Confessions Part 2, and like I still sing it. Like if you follow me on Instagram, You probably saw my Instagram story from literally like 3 days ago where I was like in the back of the Uber and Confessions yes. Part 2 came on. And I just put the selfie camera on and I sang it like I was Usher. Just throwing all my feelings on the ground. Like, it is still like over 10 years later. Like, a lot of these songs, if you just make a playlist with like the summer 2004 top 10 songs, like,
yeah,
I'm good. Like, I'm Man, perfectly fine.
I'm looking at the list. So I'm looking at the list and Lollipop by Lil Wayne, another one.
Another,
you
like,
know, that was big.
Down,
you know,
in Louisiana, especially.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I was about to say, we're both from Louisiana. And so for him to have such a huge commercially successful song like Lollipop, I mean, so good. I
and
mean,
then, you know, ooh, if you look
that's
at...
That's another song we shouldn't have really been singing. But,
no,
you know,
not
whatever.
At all. And you're... Okay, so you're looking... With Lollipop, you're looking at 2008. That's
yes.
also... Okay, You See Forever by Chris Brown.
And that the best song ever recorded, Bleed
yes.
Love by Leona Lewis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But Forever by Chris Brown, though, like, I distinctly remember that because shortly after, I think, or around that time is when he, you know, he beat Rihanna and, like,
yes,
that
yes.
whole fallout became a thing. Because if you mm-hmm. remember, like, that was a huge song on the radio, but it also was being used in, like, some gum, like,
yeah,
ad
the,
or something.
Yeah, and they took it. They
took it down.
Like,
yeah,
they
took
it down.
Yeah. And, like, Disturbia by Rihanna is on that same list. Leaving by Jesse McCartney, holy shit.
Oh, that that's my jam. Oh, my God, I'm going to have to go listen to all of this now.
No, like, so done. Here's the thing. Like, that's just what I love about going back and thinking about, like, some of our favorite summer songs. Because it really feels like when you go back and listen to them, it's like you're, like, reliving those moments, and it almost feels like a time capsule of, like, that time. And, you know, so much happens over the summer, I feel like, when you're growing up, because you're out of
yeah.
school and you have more free time, and, like, you're just experiencing life in a different way. And it's just mm-hmm. I think, like, more so than, like, almost any other time of year, like, the releases in the summer really, like, mean a lot. I just really like hearing, like, people, the memories people have associated with, like, song releases and, like, when a
yeah.
certain song was really big. So
you know what, though, I'm still looking at the list. One more thing I do want to say. I went up into the 90s because this list goes from like 1985 something
yeah, yeah.
like that. But I went up into the 90s and I'm like, so many summer songs back then were like slow songs, slow jams, like R&B.
Interesting.
You know, R&B was such a huge genre at the time or whatever. Because, I mean, when you think about My All by Mariah Carey, that's a slow song. You know what I mean? And for that to be the song of the summer is kind of crazy.
That's wild.
Also, like All My Life by Casey and JoJo. And then by the time like 98 and 99 came, you got the Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera, which
yeah,
is a
super
bop
poppy.
On top of a bop
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And that's kind of where it started. But yeah, because you had like All Star by Smash Mouth. Damn,
it's
99 was a good
bad,
year.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston is also on there. Yeah, 99
yeah.
was great. But yeah, I totally see this like interesting shift around 1999 where it gets a little bit more upbeat.
Yeah.
And you start
and you
seeing
start getting
like
more like pop rock as well.
Yeah.
You start seeing a little bit more of the pop
yeah,
rock.
Yeah, yeah. Drops of Jupiter. You also see like for sure like in 2003, I mean, Beyoncé, like her debut single, solo single,
yeah.
Crazy in Love was a summer release. I think mm-hmm. like it started to become like a very calculated thing as well. Like if you
yeah.
want a song to blow up, let's release it over the summer. Let's make it super catchy. And that's
mm-hmm.
how we're going to get, like, the most, you know, out of this particular release. So I think,
yeah.
like, it's really interesting to kind of, like, look back and see how things shifted in that direction.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah,
well, y'all.
I'm also going to link this download
for
so
sure.
You guys can go
yeah,
listen
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, and also, like, y'all, if you have any predictions as to what you think that the song of the summer is going to be in 2017, send them to us. Or, like I said earlier, your favorites. Like, we want to hear them. We want to have a combo. So, yeah, tweet us.
Yeah. She's biracial. She's a biracial girl. She's biracial. She's a biracial girl. She's a biracial girl. She's biracial girl. Oh my
man,
God.
The most awkward
so
song
funny.
Ever. The most awkward song, the most awkward video. But
so
okay,
funny.
So this is how it relates to Tinashe, who, if you didn't know, is biracial.
Yes.
basically, she did an interview with The Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
recently, and it's kind of been getting a lot of attention and, like, not for good reasons. So just to, like, start from the very top, the headline of this article is called, it's like, Tinashe, colon, and it's a quote, "If you're a black singer, you're either Beyonce or Rihanna." So immediately when it comes to SEO and getting people to click on it, like, this is all you needed.
Yeah, definitely.
In a headline, okay? So they knew already, like, how they were going to get people in. So you start getting into the article. It's kind of like the same old thing that we've been hearing with Tinashe, her and her struggles with, like, the label not releasing her album. And, you know, it just kind of, like, is getting her takes on, like, the industry. And, you know, it asks her some personal questions as well. And she gets into, like, she, like, specifically mentions that, like, she's of, in her words, like, mixed race heritage, and she says that's, quote, "another example of why I was different," like, as she was growing up. And then she moves on and she starts talking about, quote unquote, colorism involved in the black community, which is very apparent. Yeah. And she says that she's trying to find a balance, like, between being a mixed woman and trying to fit in within the black community. And she says, quote, they don't fully accept me. Even though I see myself as a black woman, the disconnect is confusing sometimes. So there's a lot going on here. And I just, I want to say, first of all, like, the way these quotes were, like, framed and put next to each other, like, I'm not trying to, like, defend her, but it is weird because she goes from talking about, like, you know, how this was, you know, being, I guess, of mixed race or whatever was different as she was growing up. And then she starts talking about, like, finding balance between being a mixed or, like, not fitting into the black community and, like, people don't accept her. And so I'm, like, I'm still kind of, like, on the fence is if when she was talking about, like, black people not, like, accepting her, if she was talking about, like, in interpersonal relationships on a day-to-day or, like, when she's talking about her music, because the only people that I, like, know are fans of Tinashe, like, in my circles are black people. And like, if she was talking about, like, accepting her music and stuff or fully accepting her music, like, that to me, like, didn't make sense. And I honestly, like, hate policing someone's identity issues because I'm not in their shoes. But this does come across, like, low-key, like, problematic and, like, not a real thing. And I don't really, like, it really just, like, and again, she also does talk about colorism, but she's, like, a light-skinned black woman, and so colorism actually, like, favors her. And so, yeah, like, these quotes that she's kind of, like, getting, you know, some shit for, it's, like, honestly kind of confusing.
Yeah, so, you know, I can't really say that she never experienced these things, right? Like, I don't want to invalidate her feelings or whatever. But at the same time, I do think it's, like you said, they were placed very, like, weirdly in the article.
Right.
I can tell that they kind of just took bits and pieces from the conversation that they had and, you know, put it all together. But at the same time, what she said is what she said.
Right, right.
So, you know, she's, like you said, she said that the she feels like she doesn't fully fit into the black community and they don't fully accept me, even though I see myself as a black woman. And, you know, it's like, okay, it's weird because, like you said, all of the fans I know of Tinashe are black. And it's so many people that are, like, they're trying to almost force her on you, like, pay attention to her. She works really hard. Like, she sings really well.
They cape for her. Like, it's not
Tinashe's
just casual
fans ride for her. Yeah. Like, they ride for her. I don't know anyone who is, like, a casual Tinashe fan. Everyone I know that is a fan of her is like, she deserves so much more, blah, 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 this and that. And, you know, colorism comments aside, biracial mix comments aside, I think when we go back to, like, the headline of the story and what she talked about with Beyonce and Rihanna being the only, like, acceptable black singers in the industry, it's like, well, it's, to me, that's kind of ignoring the black singers who are doing well for themselves, but they aren't mega stars. Like, Like, okay, so yeah, there's Beyonce and Rihanna, but there isn't more than one Taylor Swift. You know what I mean? So no one is saying like, oh, well, you know, there needs to be more Taylor Swifts. No, like Taylor Swift is the biggest pop star, right? You know, there's Selena Gomez, who's a few notches under her. And there, you know, there's Ariana Grande and things like that. But when it comes to the biggest pop star and things like that, it's Taylor Swift or whatever. So when it comes to Rihanna and Beyonce, it's like they didn't get this overnight. You
right.
Tinashe is still fairly new in comparison to Beyonce and Rihanna. You know, Rihanna is still fairly new in comparison to Beyonce. So, you know, you have to put in your work to get to the point that they are at. And also it has a lot to do with the fact that they know how to reinvent themselves, and they also know how to start the trends.
Mm.
With Tinashe, I feel like I know I've said this on the show before that I was a fan of her older music, her earlier mixtapes and things like that. I have a feeling that she's trying to chase hits, she's trying to chase trends. And Beyonce and Rihanna are different from her in a way that they create trends a lot of times. So,
but like you mentioned, though, they always haven't been like that, you know?
Yeah,
and like
no,
they did
no,
have those bumps. And I think, like, what first of all, I do agree with what you're saying when it comes to like, you're not just going to have a bunch of Beyoncés and Rihannas. Like, these are people who are at the top of the game. And yes, they're like, we do have to acknowledge that there's inequality when it comes to like Black women in pop music. But like at the same time, there are Black women out here doing well for themselves who said, fuck pop radio. Like,
yeah,
we're doing us. Like, her and SZA and Ne-Yo, they don't give a fuck about like beat radio play. I mean, it would be nice, but they are like owning their own lanes and they're doing their what they need to do. But like, what I do, like, I do like that. I don't love the comments in this, you know, interview or whatever, but I am glad that these particular conversations are now being brought to light as far as like what, you know, Black women's place when it comes to like pop music and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I mean, going back to like what I was saying just a minute ago, like Beyonce and Rihanna, like in their early years, like they didn't come out of like the industry womb or like whatever you want to call it, like these people who were just ruling shit. Like, they had awkward moments, they had some flops and everything like that, but what especially makes them different now is they have labels that support them in many more ways than one, in the sense that like they have a clear vision for what they want to do with them, you know, when it comes to their music and the way it's released and where it's released. Also, though, on the PR end, they have a brand and they have like this very controlled image that like they own. And Tinashe has never had any of
that. What is her brand?
Yeah.
What is her image?
And so the thing is, she's in this like weird middle ground where, like, first of all, they keep releasing things that like are half-assed if they release anything at all. And so it's like a very messy, everything about the things that she releases has been very messy. And let me also just preface this by saying, like, none of this or the majority of it has not been her fault. She has been like at the, you know, basically at the whim of like RCA and her PR, who've just been completely like, they haven't given her any proper guidance on like the branding aspect, on the music aspect, because there's a clear like line between what Tinashe wants and what the kinds of artists that she sees herself as versus like what RCA wants, if they even want anything at this point. Like, it seems like they don't even care about her. And so it's like,
I mean, think about it like this. SZA just signed with RCA.
Mm-hmm.
And so far they're doing right by her. Tinashe, I mean, when SZA signed with RCA, so many people were like, they're going to mess over you like Tinashe, you know, like they did Tinashe. And SZA is on this great album rollout promo tour right now, and she's doing well for herself. And it's like, they kind of just left Tinashe on the back burner. They don't care, you know, but I think overall, like, Tinashe really just needs to find her sound. I was watching SZA's Breakfast Club interview, and she said, you know, it took me 4 years to really, since our last project, to really find herself, find the type of music she wanted to listen to, find the type of music she wanted to put out for people. And I mean, four years is a really long time, and you don't want to wait that long and maybe people forget about you. I don't know if every person will need 4 years or more or less, whatever, but I think that Tinashe just needs to take some time and find her sound, find herself, and really, you know, just kind of make it an experience that's organic. Because right. to me, like I said, it's like she's chasing the trend, she's chasing the hits, and it's not working for her. Like, how many times do you have to do this, you know, to go through flop singles for you to realize that, okay, something else needs to be done?
But again, like, that's, this is, there's a fine line, I think, between, like, her faults in all of this versus, yeah, like, the yeah. label and, like, the industry as a whole. Like, there, when it comes to, like, what labels think is quote-unquote marketable, like, there is, yeah. like, an issue there for sure. We've talked about it before, and, like, we definitely need to acknowledge it. So, I mean, there's definitely, like, I think at the end of the day, a disconnect between her vision and the label's vision and how much they're willing to invest in her. But, like, I fully agree that, like, she needs to just take some time off, like, a solid few years, like, to just completely go off the radar, stop releasing, stop leaking things that, you know, your label should, you think your label should have released. Instead, like, truly, like, in taking that time to, like, seclude yourself and then coming out with a strong project that, like, a label can truly get behind, like, that to me is, will be a, like, will be something that, like, can be big and successful and
yeah,
what
I
you
mean,
want it to be.
Look at the numbers. I mean, the SZA's album came out last Friday, and, you know, Katy Perry released in the same week. And now, I know SZA has gained a lot of fans, but the fact that she has been ahead of Katy Perry since her release is just crazy to me. She was number one up until the Tonys, when one of the soundtracks from the Tonys, I think the best play, the one, I think it was Dear Evan Hansen, the soundtrack for that play is what is ahead of them on iTunes right now. But just the fact that SZA was ahead of Katy Perry for like 3 or 4 days is crazy. Like, that is definitely not something that I expected. I'm sure she didn't expect it either. I mean, even though she gained a lot of fans, you know, within the last couple of days, it's just the fact that Katy Perry, I mean, you know, Katy Perry is not some small pop artist.
Yeah, no. And also, this has been like, people have been
yeah,
waiting
it's been
for
a
Katy
weird
Perry.
Era for her.
It's been a weird era, like, which is part of the reason why. I mean, like, her last, this one and her last one have been pretty weird eras. Like,
yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
Katy Perry hasn't really done much that anyone should be paying attention to since, like, Teenage Dream. But,
<Yeah.
laughs> like, still, she's a huge pop artist that people mm-hmm. have been waiting for a while. And, I mean, I guess this officially, like, shows that, you know, she's kind of going downhill. But, mm-hmm. you know, like, considering that, like, she had as much buzz as she did and she has her name that people all already know, like, you would naturally think that, like, that's where people would gravitate towards. But at the end of the day, like, SZA's, you know, people who truly believed in SZA's sound and her artistry, who had been waiting for her for a while, they showed up and they brought their
yeah.
friends. That's, like, exactly
yeah.
what happened. And that's kind of, and when people really realized how great it was, it just, like, you couldn't stop them. And so, you know, it, like I said, I think this is just another example of, like, the mess that is kind of Tinashe's, like, existence as an artist out here, like, when it comes to, like, just her relationship with her label and, like, the constant messiness of it. Like,
yeah.
as much as I love, like, a lot of the songs she's put out and, like, I have believed in her in a while, like, it gets to the point where you're like, I don't need to deal with this. Like, as a
yeah.
fan of someone, like, I don't need to, like, put up with this. And I'm just going to, like, I'll put you on the back burner until, like, you have something to show for it. Because at this point, it's, like, not worth all the drama to, like, still
mm-hmm.
be, like, a ride or die Tinashe fan. I'm sorry. But, I mean, like,
yeah.
again, I don't agree with the comments. And, like, they weren't hot. But, like, eventually, when she does come back with, you know, a strong project and, like,
mm-hmm.
hopefully with a new label, like, I will definitely, like, listen and, like, be excited to hear it. But, like,
yeah,
I
mean,
really only
not,
want the
I
best
feel like
for her.
People are waiting for her to put out good music. I think that a lot of people who supported her from the beginning with the mixtapes and things like that, I think people are really just waiting for her to put out music that they like. It's not that people have completely written off Tinashe.
No.
It's like, I don't even want to hear anything from her. No, it's not that. It's just that people are not vibing with what you have put out. And, I mean, it's just simple as that.
Yeah.
But Tinashe, I just, the whole thing, I'm reading it, I'm like, girl, this cannot be real. Like, you know, she's had her struggles, but
yeah, it's
time.
A reach. It's definitely a reach at the end of the
yeah.
day. But honestly, like, I wish her well, and want her to do well. Like,
yeah, I want, you know, it's like people are not wishing bad for her.
No, like never, ever. And that's why it's been like, that's why it was like really disappointing to hear her say like those things about the quote unquote black community, like whatever that mm-hmm. means. Like, literally, like, we're the ones out here riding for you. So right, I don't know. But anyways, mm-hmm. shout out to Tinashe. I mean, she's really going through some shit that, like, just does not have to happen and saying shit that does not need to be said. Like, just get in the studio.
Exactly. Okay, so we are going to get into flops and faves. And if this is your first time listening, that is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. Mm-hmm. And as always, I'm going to let you go first.
Yay! you're so sweet. So I have an ongoing Twitter thread that I update related to my fave this week.
Oh, God.
Because it's my fave. It's been my fave for the past month. It's so if you watch Jane the Virgin, then you know Justin Baldoni. He's the actor that plays Raphael, one mm-hmm. of the sexiest men on TV right now. Like, he's just a beautiful, beautiful man. So mm-hmm. I follow him on Instagram. It's great. Super cute because he has, like, this baby daughter and, you know, just seeing their hijinks, I guess, is really
hijinks.
It's, like, super adorable. I'm sorry. That is who I am deep down. So his Instagram is super cute. But the reason why it's my fave of the week is because on his Instagram stories, for the past like month and a half now, he's been consistently updating everyone on his torn pectoral muscle. So I don't know how.
Quality content.
It's such great content. I don't know how he tore it, probably during a workout, but like, he's very muscular. He has a great, beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful build. And he tore his pec muscle, and he's been doing all these weird ass things to like rehabilitate the pec. And mm-hmm. so it's all of these like shirtless Instagram stories with like weird ass needles and like acupuncture, and like one time it was just sucking blood out of it. It was so weird. but what I'm trying to say is he's mostly shirtless in all of them, and it's just really fun to watch. And so, like I said, like if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen like almost every time I like am looking at my Instagram stories and he has given us a new update, I take a screenshot and I put it in the Twitter thread, and it's been going on for like a little over a month now. And it's just like very wholesome content. I mean, it's just really nice to like just see him taking care of himself, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, shirtless. anyway, so my flop of the week, we may have mentioned this before, like mm-hmm. you specifically may have mentioned this before, but like I saw you tweeting this with SZA and it just reminded me like how much this annoys me. But also when the shoe is on the other foot, like it is different. But anyway, so what it is like people who think they own an artist. And then, when said artist, like, blows up, they're like, y'all weren't here in 2013, though.
Yeah, that's so
strange. And, like,
strange.
It's so frustrating because it's, like, great. Like, and I honestly may have been guilty of this a time or two, but, like,
yeah,
it's starting to get to a point where I'm, like, realizing that it's annoying and kind of, like, you know, also realizing when other people do it. But, you know, like how when you may have quote unquote discovered an artist for yourself years before they blew up. And so you feel this kind of ownership, like, mm-hmm. and when they do blow up and you see all these new fans, it's like, wait, like, where were y'all back then? Like, we didn't know of them back then. Like, that's right. What happened. Like, honestly, like, I've only really started listening to SZA within the past 6 months. And that's mm-hmm. totally fine. I totally enjoy her new album. I love her now. Like, and I think, like, what's weird about it is, like, this weird sense, this ownership feel is, like, bizarre. Because, like, don't you want this artist to have more exposure? And, like, don't you want more people to, like, love them and support them and buy their music? Like, I totally get, though, like, it being a very personal experience with you and the artist. But in that case, just, like, hire someone to sing to you in your room or something. Like, this is, like, if we all have access to it, like, you can't keep them all to yourself forever. So that's my flop of the week. People who think, like, they have ownership over an artist and, like, get super protective when that artist starts to, like, blow up.
Yeah, it's so selfish.
Yeah.
But, so my fave of the week is hot yoga. I went to hot yoga a few days ago with a couple of my cousins and a few other family members, and it was so fucking hot. But beyond that, it was really relaxing. Like, after I finished doing it, I went to a class for people who are very skilled in yoga. Mm-hmm. I did not know that I was going to a class that was not a beginner's class. I was struggling the whole time, but at the same time, I felt really good after.
Like, how did you feel? Like, because I'm thinking, like, to me, I've only done, like, basic workouts. So it's like, you know, treadmill or lifting weights or whatever, squats, whatever. Like, those are things that you're really, like, using your muscles and stuff. So, like, I've never actually done a formal yoga class, and I definitely haven't done hot yoga. So what is that feeling like after you step out?
Well, first of all, I do have to let you guys know that it is 95 degrees in the room. It is hot. Like, I expected it to be hot, right? Like, you know, maybe like 80 degrees in the room or whatever. No, 95. Literally sweating as soon as you walk in there. But when I walked out, I just remember feeling like loose. I tend to be pretty tense sometimes.
Interesting.
So, you know, your muscles are relaxed because you're hot. You know, heat can relax your muscles a lot of times. And I just felt like...
Loose as a goose.
Yes, don't get me started. Yes, like, that's definitely how I felt. I was just so relaxed. And the next day, I was super sore because it was a full body workout, literally from my neck down to my feet. Mm-hmm. I was sore, so sore. But I felt, for one, you feel accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Because for sure. you survived.
Because honestly, like, the goal, and shout out to the teacher. I really wish I remember her name, but because it's a black owned yoga studio in New Orleans. And she, what did she say? She said your main goal should just be to stay in the room. Even if you can't do all of the poses and things like that, as long as you can stay in the room, you've accomplished something. So because I was able to do a lot of the poses, I was not able to do all of them, but about 90% of them, I felt really accomplished after that. And being sore the next day, I'm one of the people that likes to feel sore after workouts, because I feel like I did something.
Right.
So that was great. So yeah, I really like hot yoga. And if you're in New Orleans, go to Magnolia Yoga Studio. I think that's the name of it. And try it out. Try to go to a beginner's class, though. Don't be like me.
No, I don't know how you do it, especially being in New Orleans where it's like twice as hot outside.
Already, yeah. I had to go outside and not feel any breeze. So I was just hot. But yeah, definitely try out hot yoga if you're into yoga and you haven't done it yet. Or if you want to try it and you know, haven't done yoga at all. Hot yoga is my fave of the week.
Cool.
And my flop of the week goes to the Starz show American Gods.
Tell me more, because I have been thinking about starting it, but
what the fuck is this show? Like, I have watched confusing shows before, you know, like sci-fi shows, and kind of like, you know, things that you don't really understand until you get further in the season and things like that. But I started watching it yesterday. I watched the first episode and I was thoroughly confused. I had to look up what the show was about, like, after the first episode. And I feel like, you know, you might be confused in the beginning of the first episode, but once you get to the end, I should have some type of idea, right? The only reason why I kind of got it without looking it up, before I looked it up, it was because of the names, gods, right? So, of course, it has, you know, it has something to do with gods. But I was just so fucking confused. Like, I got to the second episode, and I'm like, what the hell? They're on, like, it was just so weird. I can't even explain it. Like, there's one scene where a lady, like, literally eats a man with her vagina.
Holy
there's
shit.
A scene of, what is the man? Oh, my God. People say he looks like Solange. What is his name?
Oh, Orlando Jones?
Jones? Is it Jones? Well, y'all know who I'm talking about. Orlando, let me look it
up. Yeah, Orlando Jones.
Okay, so yeah, Orlando Jones is like in a pimp suit on the second episode, and he's like in a slave ship from, like, you know, back in the G, and he's like telling slaves that they're going to be, like, fucked when they get to America, and the slaves just miraculously understand English, and it's just so strange. Like, it's such a weird show. It's really gory. If you don't like gore, do not watch it. Like, literally, these guys are, like, stabbing themselves in the eye with knives and things like that. Mm-mm. So, if you don't like gore, do not watch it. But... yeah, it's just such a strange ass show.
All right, like, I was contemplating watching it, and I'm just not now. Like, I don't need to deal with this. Insecure is about to come back. I don't need this in my life. No.
And I mean, I was so excited to watch it because I like Ricky Whittle. I think he's fine as hell. And I watched him when he was on The 100, the CW show. But I mean, girl, I just don't know. I don't know what the hell I was watching. I mean, like, I stopped at episode 2 because I'm like, I still don't know what the hell I'm watching. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. So yeah, my flop this week is American Gods. Please, I was hoping that it would be a good, weird, like, sci-fi show that I'd be able to get into, but no.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, so, oh, yes. That is flops and faves, guys.
That is
we are
it.
Done.
We're done. Shout out to Dion.
Yes.
Our podcast DJ. She produced all the music you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud at Your Girl DJ Magic, and you can find all of her handles and links in our description box.
Yes, and if you want to follow the show, you can follow us on Twitter at The Fan Podcast. And if you want to follow our personal accounts, our names will be in the description box.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Alrighty. Yes. Love you guys. Talk to you later.
I'm going to let you guys go with a song.
Oh, God.
She's biracial.
No. Okay, I'm shutting
she's
off her mic.
She's a biracial girl.
Bye.